Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Welcome to this edition of the Sober Shaman Podcast. The title of this one is You Can't Reclaim Your Power from Spirit and Relinquish Your Power to an Expert at the Same Time. It is from lesson number 41, Capacity, in the Graph of Expression. I'm trying a new format here in that I'm going to be consistently updating the program's lessons. And this one, we're in week 41 of the year 2024, so I'm just going to jump right in at week 41 because it corresponds to where we are in the year. Let's see how it goes. Send me any comments. Let me know how this lands with you. So again, you can't reclaim your power from spirit and relinquish it to an expert at the same time. So this one is all about feeling. And just like the feelings that drove us during active addiction, the ones that arise from digging into the roots of investigative recovery can be overwhelming. Because when a feeling overtakes us and we follow like a lemming, it can lead us right off the cliff. The flip side also has drawbacks, because when we control a feeling, following a path of logical structure, and/or medicative numbness, we can end up in a suspended state of safety that turns into a life of flatness. How do we reconcile this? Before we look for an answer, let me make things even more complicated. I was often asked this question when I led groups in treatment centers, which was, "Hey, Randy, why am I on more medications leaving treatment than my own drug of choice when I came in?" So in these centers, in the groups, I would ask people to raise their hands, keep them up, if you answered yes to any of these questions. So since entering treatment, have you been diagnosed with and prescribed medication for depression? Hands up. Anxiety? Hands up. ADHD? Hands up. Anything else? Hands and feet up. Because just about every single person in every single group had at least one hand raised, if not both of them, and maybe a couple of feet at the same time. It's a lot of feelings, it's a lot of diagnosing, and that's a whole lot of treatment. So it's common for someone to then ask, how am I going to learn to deal with my feelings if I'm loaded up with prescription medications? That's a darn good question. And one that requires answers from professional and ethical standpoints, and which are delivered by those legally and ethically allowed to do so. So, for our purposes here, I'm investigating this question from a spiritual standpoint and providing the perspective to the only other person who's legally, ethically, and morally allowed to change their prescription. And that's the client. So, to simplify things, right from lesson 41, I would draw on the board. I know for those of you who are listening on the podcast, I'll try to explain it as best I can. But for those watching or reading the post, you have the illustration of my graph of expression. Graph of expression has an XY axis and four lines that are drawn on it, going from left to right, showing expression. And the key is this, the key meaning I'm going to explain them. So the first zone is a very well-constructed, perfect sine wave. It's the black line in the black zone, and it doesn't go too high and doesn't go too low, and represents the socially acceptable and proper range of expression. The blue zone is down low. This is depression. The red zone, up high. This is anxiety. And then we have what I like to call the tortilla client from my teacher, Martine Pretel. And it is a brown line in a brown zone that hovers very close to the flat axis going across. So here's some detail going into each one of these. The black zone, that socially acceptable one, is what greases the wheels of polite society and says, thank you, excuse me, yes, please, no, thank you, my fault, no worries. The red zone is where the fast feelings live, which can be described as up, riding the lightning, downloading inspiration. I'm in the flow. I want to go fast, to quote Ricky Bobby from Talladega Nights. And to quote me, woohoo! Yes, this is where I lived during those days of active addiction, the red zone. It was never enough. And then down into the blue zone, we find the slow feelings, which can be described as bummed. I ain't got no motivation. Depressed. I'm moving slow today. Why should I go? What's the point? And no, I just don't feel like it. So now the brown zone, which is that compressed version of the black zone of social norms. And this sounds like, oh, well, I never really liked that cat anyway. Which restaurant? I don't care. Oh, yeah. I guess I forgot. Whatever. I don't know. I just don't feel strongly either way. You get the idea. So now this graph of expression is a simple visual map of the range of human feelings, and it provides us a place to begin our exploration about where we're at and where we want to go. So, once you've identified which zone is yours and you've decided you want to go about changing it, we generally have two ways to go about doing this. The first is from the inside. I will find and develop the necessary skills and tools to deal with my feelings in healthy ways. And the second way, from the outside. I can't do this. So you know what? I'll just take this pill and eliminate the problem. Boom. Now we're staring straight down the point offered by the title of this post, because you can't reclaim your power from spirit and relinquish your power to an expert at the same time. So, here's what it looks like when someone uses a pill to hand over their power. To be clear, I'm not saying that using a pill automatically hands over your power. More on this a little later. So, I get asked this, Randy, if there's a pill to fix my feelings situation, I don't understand why using a pill to do it relinquishes my power. Here's the answer. Because if you do find your answer by way of the pill, the problem is that you are, number one, handing your power over to the pill, number two, handing your power over to the expert, and number three, you are handing your power over to the limiting core belief. Let's look at each of these in detail and show how you can hand over your power to each one. Problem number one, using the pill relinquishes your power to the pill. In this case, you are dependent upon an outside agent, the pill, which decreases or eliminates incentive for internal development. When this happens, it removes your ability to find, develop, and maintain what it takes to deal with, or even in some cases, to even feel a feeling. This ability is a foundational requirement of most personal and spiritual practices. So in this case, a pill replaces practice. The medicine from a pill cannot deliver the rewards that the medicine from a practice does. The medicine of practice bestows rewards that cannot be given and cannot be taken away. They can only be earned. This kind of spiritual practice is one step along the path to reclaiming your power. It is a path of internal development, healthy improvements, and eventually mastery. Problem number two, using the pill relinquishes your power to the expert. Fix me, whether spoken or implied, is the phrase that relinquishes your power to the expert. I'm here to fix you, whether spoken or implied, is the phrase that your expert imposes on you to validate that relinquishment of power. The fix me intention is a spell that you and your expert both believe in. It is what keeps your power flowing to the expert. The flow of power happens only in one direction, from you to your chosen expert. Right relationship with your prescribing physician is an equal partnership that is built upon mutual respect, input, and scientific curiosity. When you have this, it breaks any previous spells of disempowerment and dependence, which had you believing in the expert's castings of how you would be fixed by them. Problem number three. Using the pill relinquishes your power to your limiting core beliefs. From a spiritual perspective, limiting core beliefs are the doorway. You send your power through to the receiving spirit of inability, however you view that. And whether you view this receiving agent as a spirit, as an archetype, or what I like to call a bank account of energy, it doesn't matter. The point is, the universe has a receptacle, a repository for your power to be placed. And as is the yin yang nature of things, your power is then sent back to you in equal measure. In the form of validation for your internal voice of, I can't do it. And this is a direct reinforcement of your original limiting core belief, which is what lies at the core of your addiction. The limiting core belief, which forms itself into some kind of I am statement, fills in the blank with your particular brand of not enoughness. I spend a lot of time on this statement because this is where the spell that we believe in is cast. It's our limiting core belief. It is a belief that keeps us limited in this life. And that is the psychological term for it, limiting core belief. For me, in spirituality, it's a spell. So, let me give you an example. I am, if the example is, I am weak. Well, if that's weak is how I fill in that blank, then guess what? If that's what I believe, I'm weak, Well, then I'm going to need something to help me. I'm going to need something to help me feel strong. You know what I need? I need the pill. The pill reinforces the belief at the core of your addiction that right here, right now, you are not good enough as is. You need something to deal with the feeling. Handing over your power to the belief that you're not good enough and need something is an act of substitution. You've swapped out your drug or action of choice for the legally prescribed medication. Unfortunately, this validates your need for an outside agent that disempowers you and empowers the limiting core belief. Your power is redirected to feed the spirit of inability, which then perpetuates the cycle of addiction. Breaking this cycle begins by recognizing and acknowledging the power that your limiting core belief holds. Then, the next step is to stop feeding it with even more power. It's like the recovery saying, if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. Stop feeding the limiting core belief. Stop handing over your power. Empowered or disempowered? Look, I don't believe that medications are bad. They hold potential to be a useful tool in recovery. I am not anti-medication, but I am anti-disempowerment. The people I work with want to reclaim their power, passion, and purpose. But again, right relationship with your prescribing physician is an equal partnership built upon mutual respect, input, and scientific curiosity. There should be a clear plan that answers all of the what-if questions. And this holds true whether you are exploring going on or coming off of Medicaid. Either way, this partnership, this clear communication should answer all the what-ifs, whichever direction you're going. Because nothing replaces the power of professional support when you feel like you are truly heard, seen, and understood. From this place, successful and spiritually empowered recovery has a firm foundation upon which to build. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.